Hello, everybody listening to Osho Radio. Welcome to a new program with music, meditation, and a discourse by Osho. It could even give you 1 hour of meditation. Just listen, just dance, just relax, and most of all, enjoy.
Thank you.
Today's discourse is from the series I Am That, number 12. As always, it's just such an amazing discourse. There's only one question, but actually, Osho gives so many different answers to all of us. It's a talk straight to the heart. How lucky we are. Osho talks about the mirror of meditation, the ugliness at first that everybody has to confront. All the layers of conditioning have to be peeled off. Only after that, there is silence, there's being, there's isness. Osho says only a few people have the courage to go for this adventure, to go into the unknown. Thank you.
the second question. Bhagwan, years ago you seduced us, the blind, into buying your miracle mirrors. We bought them, thinking they were cheap and good-looking. But soon they showed us our ugly faces, and we were scared. But before we broke those mirrors, you encouraged us to go on looking, to go on watching, to go on witnessing, and in the bargain, you extracted from us the price of our very life. However, looking back, Bhagwan, I find I have not paid a thing to you. It has all been a gracious gift from you, for nothing. How shall I say thank you, Bhagwan, for all this, and for persevering with us and making us stick on until we really saw our original faces in the miracle mirrors of meditation. Still, I cannot keep wondering, Bhagwan, why and how so many keep on missing you. Are they scared of the super salesman? Bhagwan, what are they waiting for? Whom are they waiting for? When this gift of gifts is incessantly sovereign all over. The work of a master is really the work of seduction. He seduces you into the unknown. There is no other way. Only seduction can be helpful. You cannot be convinced of the unknown. Whatsoever you can be convinced about is bound to be the known. The unknown is unknown. You have not tasted of it. You have not even heard anything about it. You have no idea what it is. I can convince you of that which you have already some idea. But the unknown is absolutely unknown, and not only unknown, it is unknowable too. There is no way to know it, because it is the intrinsic quality of the knower himself. It never becomes the known. At no point it becomes the known. The deeper you go into it, the more and more you realize that it is not only the unknown, but the unknowable. Because it is the center of the knower himself, how the knower can himself become the known? That is impossible. The knower will always extend beyond the known, surpassing the known. Hence the work of a master is actually of seduction. He allures you. He fascinates you. He promises you the bliss, truth, freedom. He gives it many names. He makes you afire with longing. A moment comes when the longing is intense and passionate that you take the jump. It is really mad. No logical person can do it. Hence I have to destroy slowly your clinging with logic. I have to shift your energy from the head to the heart, because the heart is illogical. And from the heart there is a possibility, a bridge, a rainbow bridge towards the unknown and ultimately towards the unknowable. Hence the word seduction actually describes the whole work of all the Buddhas. But the people who are too much clinging to logic cannot be seduced. If they ask first to be convinced, then there is no way. If they ask for proofs, then there is no way. If the master himself is a proof, then there is a way. If the presence of the master is enough to give you the joy that can take you into the adventure, if the very presence of the master gives you courage to go into the uncharted, only then the journey ever begins. One thing is certain, once the journey begins, you cannot come back. A journey begun is already half the work done. Once it begins, it has to reach to its climax. Only the beginning part is the most difficult part. Hence I have to talk about the miracle mirrors. And I have to praise those miracle mirrors of meditation. I have to go on talking what great ecstasies they are going to give to you. You are not interested in meditation. You are not interested in looking at your original face. But you are certainly interested in being ecstatic. But when you for the first time take the mirror in your hand, it gives you agony, not ecstasy. Because you have to encounter all that is ugly in you. Because the ugly is on the surface. But once you have seen the ugly, you cannot rest at ease with it. That's the only hope. Because nobody can rest at ease with one's ugliness. Once seen, you have to destroy it. You have to remove all the masks that are ugly. You have to peel the whole skin that is ugly. And behind the surface, there is tremendous beauty. Behind the masks, and there are many masks, your original face is nothing but God's own face. In your originality, you are not separate from God. In your personality, you are separate. Personality comes from the Greek word persona. It means the mask. In your individuality, you are one with God. Then you have the beauty of a Buddha, Krishna, Christ, the same grace. But before one can reach to it, one will have to peel one's ugly layers like one peels an onion. And when you peel an onion, tears come to your eyes. It is painful. And your false masks have remained with you so long that they have almost become your faces. Removing them is not like removing your clothes. It is actually like peeling your skin. It hurts. Hence, only the courageous can be interested in inner transformation. You ask me, Bhagwan, why and how so many keep on missing you? They are cowards. They don't have any guts. They don't want to risk anything, and without risk, nothing can be gained in life. The higher the peak you want to reach, the greater is the risk. The way of inner search belongs only to the gamblers, not to the businessman. And people are very calculating. They are constantly calculating. They are always thinking in terms of calculation. Not even for a single moment they are ready to risk anything. They want every kind of security, guarantee, safety. Then only they will budge an inch. And in the spiritual inquiry, there is no safety, no security. In fact, that's why it has such tremendous beauty. It is an adventure. The adventure cannot be secure. It is going beyond the boundaries of the known. When you are living within the boundaries of the known, things are secure. You know everything. You are efficient. When you move beyond the known, you are taking risk. You may lose the known, and who knows whether you are going to gain anything in this adventure or not. You ask me, are they scared of the super salesman? They are simply scared of truth. Because they have lived in so many lies for so long, they are afraid if truth comes in, all their lies will collapse. And they have invested not only this life, but so many previous lives in those lies. Their investments are great. And truth is going to shatter. They are not bold enough to allow the truth to come in. To accept the fact that if truth destroys the lies, it is better that those lies should be destroyed sooner than later. Because if you don't destroy them today, then tomorrow, one day more is lost. The next life, one life is more lost. and your investment becomes bigger and bigger with the lies. It is better to finish it quickly. The sooner you do, the better. But for that, a certain kind of youthfulness is needed. And in this country particularly, there are only two categories of people, children and old people. The youth does not exist. From childhood, people simply move into old age. The time of youthfulness, rebellion, adventure never happens. And with me, only young people, young in the spirit, I mean, can have any communion. And not only with me, it has always been so. With Buddha, with Jesus, with Lao Tzu. It was always the case, only very few youthful adventurers went with these dangerous people. They attained great treasures. But those treasures are not certain, not guaranteed. There is no insurance. You say, before we broke those mirrors, you encouraged us to go on looking, to go on watching, to go on witnessing, and in the bargain you extracted from us the price of our very life. However, looking back, Bhagwan, I find I have not paid a thing to you. There is no need to pay anything to me. Because whatsoever I am giving to you is not mine. It is God's. It is as much yours as it is mine. What I am giving to you has been given to me. This is the way I am thanking God by giving it to you. And Ajit Saraswati, the only way to feel thankful is to share it with others. Spread it far and wide. Whatsoever you have experienced, share it. And don't be worried what people will think of you. They will think you are mad. But if you talk to 100 people, at least there is a possibility of one person coming along with you. That's more than enough. It is a great reward. If you can transform one person even, that is enough. Millions are bound to remain in darkness. Nothing can be done about it. Because that is their choice. It is their freedom. If they decide to remain in darkness, who are we to force them into light? We can go on trying. But ultimately it is going to be their decision. The only way to show our gratitude to the Master is to help others. If it has been a gracious gift to you, give it to others as a gracious gift. Give it without any idea of giving. Only then it is gracious. Give it without any idea of reward. Only then it is gracious. Simply give it for the sheer joy of giving it. you also say, how shall I say thank you, Bhagwan? It has not to be said. You need not say it, but I am hearing it. Your very silence is enough. It can be said only through silence. There is no other way to say it. Words are very inadequate. And lastly, you ask, Bhagwan, what are these people waiting for? Whom are they waiting for? When this gift of gifts is incessantly showering all over. This world has been driven crazy. Crazy, not in the sense of an spiritual madness. Crazy in the sense that people have become split. People have become schizophrenic. People have been reduced to the lowest state of intelligence. Because all the oppressors, the exploiters, the leaders, the gurus, they all wanted it in this way. Man should not be allowed to be free. Man should not be allowed to be rebellious. Man should not be allowed to be intelligent. Intelligent people are dangerous. For the status quo, for the establishment wants people to be slaves, machine-like, robots. And they have succeeded. They start destroying a child the moment the child is born. They start crippling him, paralyzing him. It is a very strange world. First they cripple you, then they provide crutches for you. And when they provide crutches for you, they say, look, what great service we are doing to you. First they make you blind, and then they give you glasses, so that you can see a little bit. First they make you dependent, and then they start telling you how to be free. We are living in a very strange world. Up to now, humanity has lived in an insane way. It is ridiculous and absurd, and it is time that this should be finished. That's what my effort here is, through my sannyasins, to bring a new kind of man in the world, which will be divinely mad, but not schizophrenic. A new man centered in his being. That is the meaning of the word individual. He will be indivisible. You cannot split him. A woman approached a psychoanalyst and asked him, can you split me into two? The psychoanalyst could not believe his ears. People had been coming to him who are suffering from split personality, And this woman is asking, can you split me into two? He said, what is the matter with you? Why do you want to be split into? The woman said, I feel so lonely. If you watch around yourself, you'll be surprised how an insane humanity we have created. After several rounds of drinks at the cocktail party, a woman turned to her husband, Henry, don't you dare take another drink. Your face is getting all blurred already. A big 300-pound man was being led to the gallows. He looked at the trap and asked the hangman, are you sure that thing is safe? A researcher in sociology, making a survey of homosexuality, rang the bell of an apartment. The man who answered the door responded to his question, homosexual? I never heard of that word. Wait, I will ask my wife. Turning his head, he called, Ernest. The morning after she left on her honeymoon, a bride returned home. She related, I took off my clothes. Then he took off his clothes, then he put on my clothes and left. And he has not come back. A rabbi was telling a story. One day a poor woodcutter found a baby in the forest, but he did not know how to feed him. So he prayed to God and a miracle happened. The woodcutter grew breasts and could feed the baby. Rabbi, interrupted a listener, I don't like this story. Why such a weird thing like breasts on a man? If God is almighty, he could have just dropped a bag of gold to give the woodcutter enough money to buy food for the baby. The rabbi meditated on this for a while, then said, why should God spend such a lot of money when he can just do a miracle? In a deserted bar, two people were seated at opposite ends of the room. The Jew and the Jap had been drinking for some time without noticing each other, when suddenly the Jew got off his stool, walked over to the Jap, and punched him on the nose. The dazed Japanese, struggling to his feet, asked the Jew why he did that. That was for Pearl Harbor, replied the Jew and walked back to his stool. After a few more drinks, the Jap got off his stool and walked over to the Jew. He punched him very hard on the nose. The Jew, from his crumpled position on the floor, asked what that was for. That was for the Titanic, stated the Jap. But that was an iceberg, complained the Jew. Well, responded the Jap, iceberg, greenberg, silverberg, they are all the same. When the flood was finally over and the animals were going out of Noah's ark, the elephant turned around to the flea who was behind him and said, stop pushing me. This is the world we are living. people have been driven to the lowest intelligence possible. And to raise their intelligence back is an arduous task. It is a miracle if somebody listens to me, understands to me, and starts transforming himself. It is happening to you. You are blessed. Very few are so blessed in the world.
Enamolea, yes, to the river. Enamolea, yes, yes. Enamolea, yes, to the master. Enamolea, yes, yes, yes.
Today we started the program with music from Punatu, from the CD The Great Affair, Your Love is an Invitation. After that, there was the piece of music, Samba Om, from the CD Hidden Harmony. You heard Hamsafar, a group of wonderful musicians put together by Prem Joshua, with their song Life Prince, and before and after the discourse, Deva Kant played from his CD Body and Soul the song Loving You. Just now you listened to a song by Miten called Enumulaya from his CD In Wonder, and we'll finish with another song from Punatu, Letting Go into the Mystery. Goodbye everybody. Stay tuned to us. Come back to Osho Radio next time. Take care and namaste.